Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
What's going on? You are live and into the Boxing Source Radio Show. I'm your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Also write articles for other publications such as Into Boxing and others. And you can follow The Boxing Source on social media through Facebook, The Boxing Source, Twitter, at Boxing Source 2, Instagram, at The Boxing Source, and Google Plus on The Boxing Source. Number to dial in to talk boxing is 347-237-5539. Once again, that is 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We have a few things that we are going to be talking about over the course of the show, and you know specifically what has went down in the boxing scene. Over the course of the weekend. So we're going to be getting into that in depth in this episode. We have pretty much like a 1 hour show planned live. So you'll be able to, you know, discuss what's going down live here on the Boxing Source. Trying to get in a few things, handle a few things, get a few things out of the way before we get started. Make sure that, you know, if you're listening to this right now, that you want to have people join in on the show, listening live here currently. That would be on Blog Talk Radio or in on Anchor.fm or Spotify or through iTunes or through Google Podcasts, among others, that once this show is done, they'll be available on those different platforms. So be sure to, like, you know, let people know, spread the Boxing Source movement, and keep, you know, the talk about boxing going, you know, not just here, but everywhere. Of course, you had a couple of cards that took place on Saturday. I'm sure that y'all caught what happened over at Windsor Park, which was, you know, televised on BT Sport over in the UK and through Showtime's Facebook page online. So, of course, the fight card was held at Windsor Park over in Belfast, where the talk had been, of course, about the co-feature instead of the main event. Frank Warren, lead promoter, lead guy of Queensbury Promotions, put this fight card together. You had in the co-feature a heavyweight bout, you know, with the former IBF, IBO, WBA super champion and WBO champion Tyson Fury going up against Francisco Pianeta. And this was a 10-round bout. And it was, you know, kind of like fairly anticipated by a few people. But my thing about this whole, the actual fight and how it came about, of course, you had Tyson Fury, who had an extended layoff from November, pretty much around Thanksgiving weekend in the States, November 2015, up until June of 2018, where he ended up facing Zephyr Seferi in his return bout. He was able to win that bout by stoppage, and you know, folks felt that, you know, that bout was a quote unquote exhibition match between those two. And so, you know, folks were trying to see, okay, you had this fight against the cruiserweight, because yes, that's what Zephyr Seferi was a cruiserweight. And you know, next up was trying to see who he would end up fighting next. So, of course, there was talk about him fighting, you know, a person of note, a veteran heavyweight, a former world champion, and that was Shannon Briggs. But, you know, now... we, you know, they eventually found out that Frank Warren and Tyson Fury put together a fight between him and Francisco Pianeta. So, of course, he had a lot of feedback once that fight was announced about, you know, Fury fighting Pianeta and people looking into who Francisco Pianeta was. Of course, he was there in the heavyweight division. So you did have one kind of minor step up in reference to that, in that instead of fighting a cruiserweight, he actually fought a heavyweight in this matchup. But, you know, Francisco Pianeta there, he had, you know, 35 wins in his career, coming in there with 4 losses. His high point was, you know, coming up in the ranks at heavyweight, having an undefeated run, you know, up until 2012 and such, and that landed him a bout with Vladimir Klitschko in 2013 for the IBF, IBO, WBA, and WBO heavyweight championships. And he ended up getting stopped in that bout within 6 rounds, where he only threw 16 jabs, according to CompuBox, in landing of those jabs that whole fight. So that was pretty much the pinnacle of his career, so to speak, until getting back into the ring after that, winning a minor heavyweight championship over in Europe, then facing Ruslan Chagayev for the WBA regular championship in 2015 and losing by knockout. So there's that. And, you know, continuing to be there in the heavyweight division, facing guys that had records of 3-2, 6-2, 1-0 over in Germany, and in 2018 facing a guy that was 1-0, then facing a guy that was 11-0, and ended up losing by unanimous decision to him before getting this fight with Tyson Fury. So there you have Tyson Fury, 26-0, of course, coming off his extended layoff against Efes Barry, cruiserweight. And we were trying to see what the status was of Tyson Fury from his last fight to this fight. Of course, first off was his weight. Of course, people were watching where his weight was. He weighed in at 258 pounds, which was, you know, lighter than, almost 20 pounds lighter than his previous fight against Efes Barry, where he was 276 pounds. And for those that followed, you know, Tyson Fury, after winning the Unified Championships over Vladimir Klitschko, he gained a lot of weight, drank a lot of booze, some drugs, and eventually stepped out of the ring and gave up all the belts that he had. So first things first, he had to get rid of all that weight that he had in order to come back in the first place. And he was able to at least get to 276 pounds against Efes Barry. Now he came in at 258 pounds. And with that, he went into this fight against Pianetta. And, of course, for those that, you know, kind of seen the build-up to this fight, you know, it didn't really have that much of a hint of seriousness in this particular fight. Of course, we'll talk about why most of that, why it was the case, or the primary reason for that. But here it was that you had the weigh-in, you had the, of course, the customary pose face-to-face between, you know, two guys facing each other. And for those that kind of like seen the pictures of the highlights of that, you saw Tyson Fury in a picture with Francisco Pianetta, with Pianetta taking the picture. Yes, that means that you had a guy about to be in a heavyweight fight take a selfie with his opponent. Never seen that happen ever in boxing. But, I mean, look at Tyson Fury's last fight where he fought Seth Safari, and in the weigh-in, he basically lifted him up to his height level. He basically carried him in his two arms. And then in the fight, he just kissed Efes Barry. So you saw how bad of an exhibition that was when you have a big brawl going on in the arena while the fight is happening and Tyson Fury stopping to look at what's happening there in the Manchester Arena. So here against Francisco Pianetta, you have somebody there that you have taken selfies with him like he's a super-duper star and a icon in the sport of boxing. So that should have signaled what you are looking at or what was going into happening here in this particular matchup. So the thing is that what we saw here with Tyson Fury is, I mean, he kind of like looked a little bit better in this particular matchup than he did against Efes Barry, as far as like his overall conditioning is concerned, how he was able to move around in the ring, how he was able to throw his jab, pump his jab, among other things. And so can kind of give him credit for that, that he was able to progress to the point to where he is able to, you know, switch switch up styles, go from orthodox to southpaw, you know, move around, do a couple of the shoulder rolls, block, and, you know, get Pineda to the ropes and try to work on him in the ropes. But, you know, other than that, you really didn't see that much of an effort coming from Francisco Pineda to say that he was a serious threat to defeat Tyson Fury. So right then and there, you had 10 rounds. You just saw 10 rounds of Tyson Fury just, you know, showing how tall he was and pumping the jab and not really having Francisco Pineda get real close to him. And when he did, he was able to get a couple of punches in, but nothing to really affect Tyson Fury. And so you had a 10-round decision by, you know, the referee to give him a 190 points win, basically a 10-round shutout for Tyson Fury to stay undefeated, go to 27-0. And that, you know, kind of leads into the talk of the week or whatever it is, in that after the fight, you had the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, step in the ring for Tyson Fury. He was in attendance watching this fight with Tyson Fury and Francisco Pineda. Of course, you had talk between Frank Warren and Shelley Finkel, who is the manager of Deontay Wilder, and that he will be, it seems, facing Deontay Wilder in the future. But we'll get into that here a little bit more, but just wanted to add in the caller, area code 202. What's going on with you?
Hey, what's going on? It's World Rank. Just checking in. I haven't called in a while. Just checking on this great show you have on. So just here.
Hey, greetings there, World Rank. Long time. Getting started into the main topic, and that is the co-feature bout that was at Windsor Park between Tyson Fury and Francisco Pineda. And one of the short things that I was saying in reference to the summary of this fight was that that actual fight seemed like another quote-unquote exhibition fight between those two, you know, given what was happening in the weigh-in and, you know, given how both of those fighters handled themselves during the fight. So what did you see out of this particular matchup?
Before you said the word exhibition, that's exactly what came into my mind. You know, and what's odd is you telling me in these last two fights that Tyson Fury had, the Piana fight and the, I can't even remember the guy's name, but the cruiserweight guy. Safari. You telling me that you couldn't get Shannon Briggs for one of those fights? I talked about this topic on here. We mentioned Shannon Briggs, but you telling me that you want two tune-ups and Shannon, neither one of them has ever been as good as Shannon Briggs. You telling me that Shannon Briggs wouldn't have been a suitable opponent? I think that's, you know, I just think that's crazy. Even Shannon Briggs now at 45 will probably have beat both of those guys. Or I don't know if he's 45, but somewhere in that range. It's crazy. I mean, it was nothing to say, man. I mean, Tyson Fury just tried to, you know, it was an exhibition. He just wanted to get rounds. I don't know how beneficial this is for him going forward to face Wilder. I don't think these two opponents were going to prepare him for Wilder. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just Michael was saying, but you have two guys there in Cephas Seferi and Francisco Pineda that, you know, shouldn't really be in the ring with the Tyson Fury to get Tyson Fury up to the level where he's, you know, trying to be at the top level. So I don't understand why they would put him in the ring with a Cephas Seferi or a Francisco Pineda, other than two things. One, in particular with the fight against Cephas Seferi, that he wasn't, you know, nowhere near ready to face any heavyweight, pretty much any heavyweight, unless if they were just there just to be there to pick up a check. And number two is, and I think this goes into the long-term, or the quote-unquote long-term effect with Tyson Fury returning, is that with him signing with Frank Warren, he really doesn't have that many options at heavyweight that he could fight where it could probably make sense for him on one end and, you know, him to try to build up to anywhere close to the level that he was in 2014 and 2015. With that, him facing Francisco Pineda is like a, you know, to me, I don't see where this puts him as far as like his overall status in his current career. Because like I was saying before, I mean, he came into the fight at 250, you know, pretty much around 254 pounds or so, or 258 pounds. So, yeah, that's, a little bit lower than 276 pounds. But, you know, it, as far as like his optimal fighting shape, he was like around 250, you know, about 245 to 250 pounds. So him being there at 258, that kind of like gets him closer to that. But fighting a guy at the level of Francisco Pineda, who recently lost to a guy that was, you know, only like 11-0 over in Germany, says that his level of competition was nowhere near who Tyson Fury is supposed to be facing at this particular point. And so with him getting that win and then now talking about him fighting Deontay Wilder in the future, I don't see how he would be in a state or in a status to fight someone like Deontay Wilder, who's been a lot more active and who has fought a little bit better level of competition than Tyson Fury has in his two fights back.
Yeah, so to the point that you made about not getting Frank Warren not having the options, of course, if you look at the top 10, it would probably be difficult. I do agree it would be difficult to probably get somebody from that elk to face Tyson Fury. But if you look below the top 10, anywhere from 10 to 50, a top 50 guy, 10 to 50, I think they could have came up with a better opponent. Now, Pineda or Seferi, those guys, it's reasonable to get those fights, you know, from coming back. I get it. You need some type of tune-up. But the level from the guy he fought this week to Wilder is just – the level between the two is just so drastic. I don't know how you can get prepared for an arguably top two guy in a division from somebody – who's not even maybe top 50. And you coming off the layoff and you're just trying to get yourself right. I don't know what purpose these two fights. Let me not say that. I think Frank Warren didn't necessarily have a plan other than to get Tyson Fury back to be active. And then once Wilder's situation came up, I think he saw it as a way he couldn't pass this opportunity up because he might think Fury has a chance of beating him, and if he waits any longer, that Wilder fight might not be available. So I think he's trying to get something out of his investment for Tyson Fury because it's probably not going to be that Tyson's going to get Joshua anytime soon. And, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's trying to make the Joshua Wilder fight, so it would make sense for him to try to grab Wilder if he could. So I think for Frank Warren, it was a business decision that maybe he didn't see maybe 3 months ago. He saw that as an opportunity pretty quickly, and he scooped it up, unlike Eddie Hearn.
Well, yeah, I think he, Frank Warren, did kind of see this as an open opportunity to try to at least have some type of fight that would be, quote-unquote, big in magnitude, according to some, because, you know, we've talked about over and over the fallout between the negotiations of Deontay Wilder's camp and Anthony Joshua's camp. So who else but the quote-unquote rival for Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Boxing to try to get Deontay Wilder in a fight than Frank Warren and Greensbury Promotions? And so with this, I agree. He is, you know, trying to take advantage or get it while the iron is – strike it while the iron is hot, where, you know, in the future he might not be able to get something like that because, well, you know, whether Deontay Wilder wants it or not, April 13, 2019 is there at Wembley Stadium for him to take this fight against Anthony Joshua for all the belts. So this could be a way for, you know, Tyson Fury and Frank Warren to kind of like crash that party, crash that potential undisputed heavyweight championship fight between those two. So they're able to get that done and make it happen, then that would be kind of like a semi-win for Frank Warren, because if you really think about it, other than his guy Billy Joe Saunders, well, who else does he have other than him and Tyson Fury? You really don't have much that you could build off of at this point. You have a lot of young guys that are out there, but you know, Frank Warren hasn't put those guys in a position to be in big fights as of yet. You have Anthony Yard that's out there. You know, you also have Joe Joyce. But, you know, either those guys are too young in the game or he's not, you know, necessarily ready to put them in the spotlight all too quickly. So this is basically what he has right now. So, why not, you know, put him out there for it?
Yeah. I think when he got Tyson Fury, it was, you know, he's a big name and he could be a main event. But I didn't think he had an avenue to get Tyson back to the top. And now he sees this Wilder fight because Eddie Hearn dropped the ball to be able to get Tyson a big fight and kind of get his some type of return on investment, because even if he loses to Wilder, Fury's in a big fight. And I don't know if Wilder wasn't available, what options Fury would have had to get a big fight. Most of the top of the division is either with Hearn or tied up in some other way. So it's a good move for Frank Warren because he's able to get investment back on Tyson Fury. So.
Right. So right now I got another caller on the line. Area code 321. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's up, panel? It's Jay Cotto. How's everybody going, man?
All right, we good.
What's
there,
up,
brother
sir?
Jay, we good.
What's good, man? How's everybody? All right?
Yeah, we good, man.
I just want to make a quick statement, JR. It's only gonna take about maybe a minute. Can I do that right quick?
All right, go in real fast if you can.
Yeah, real fast, real fast. All right, this is to all the Fury fanatics that were talking shit. Now, I am not a Deontay Wilder fan, but I'm just talking for the face of boxing. All you guys that were out there talking the shit that you wanted to fight, yeah, the fight is going on and that. Why are you backtracking now and saying that the man needs about fucking 50 more fights and needs to see Wilder in 2019? Tyson Fury is ready now, goddammit. And I'm not even a Tyson Fury fan. But this fight has to go on now. You know why? I hate the hypocrisy, because motherfuckers are the same guys that were saying Tyson Fury, Wilder's chicken. You know what I'm saying? If that fight was to ever produce it, it's produced. What now? Give Wilder his fucking due. Let the man fight a name like Fury. You guys got to stop backtracking on your fighters. Your guys ain't real fight fans. Give Fury his fucking due. The man's a former undisputed champion. He fucked up on his own. He didn't lose to no one. So you got to give the man his props, kid. 2.5 years, he came back and showed us two possibilities of how you could win a fight. A TKO stoppage and a fucking decision. What more do you want? Just because he didn't knock the guy out doesn't mean that he fucking lost anything. That's the same thing that happened to Keith Thurman. Oh, he's no longer one time. That this happens in boxing. Mike Tyson didn't knock everybody out. Ernie Shavers didn't knock everybody out. Hard hitters usually don't knock everybody out. This is why Tyson Fury has a 70% chance of winning this fight, because he can win this fight two ways. Fury fans, have faith in your fucking man, for Christ's sake. At least the Wilder fans have more audacity and more fucking sense to stay behind their fighter. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, that's because they suffer from WDS. But, I mean, you could carry on, though.
You know, I'm just saying, man, you know, this is why the fans have to understand each other here. The same thing with the Joshua situation. You guys ain't mad at the fighters. You guys are really mad at the selections, and you're mad at the fucking promoters, because at the end of the day, they're going to make the fucking fight. They're going to make the fucking fight. Nobody thought that this Fury fight was going to come about. And look where it is now. And I'm glad that Deontay Wilder actually went over. Now, as an American fight fan, I can actually say our American heavyweight champion answered the call. Like he was a fucking poster dude, like the rest of the great state. So he went over there. So what I'm saying here is that Deontay Wilder is doing very well for doing this. Give the man his credit. Let him fight. You know what I'm saying? And Fury, fight. Wilder, take the fight. I don't want to hear from any of you two fucking big behemoths. I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's not looking good, or something fucked up in the negotiations. You said it on TV. You said it the day after that it's already signed. Let's fucking get it. Because, like I said, the fight fans are going to go up against each other over you two fucks, right? And it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be fair. You two guys should just basically get the shit on and understand fight fans, that if your arguments are going to be against each other, you know, it's going to have to, you guys are going to have to argue with about the promoters that's handling Wilder. You feel me? Because Wilder loved it. If you looked at yesterday, Wilder loved being in England. He liked it over there. And, oh, and by the way, that Billy Joe Saunders shit is squashed. He knows that it was shenanigans. The only one that should have anything to say about this and be upset about it is Deontay Wilder. So for the sake of boxing, let's just let this shit go. You know what I'm saying? They made up. It's over with. But back to Fury and Wilder, this fight has to produce. It's going to produce. It's going to be awesome. You know what I mean? I just, like I said, just fight fans, don't go up against each other over this shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't. Because at the end of the day, it's really the promoters that are fucking up, not these two fighters. You know, Wilder has shown me that he wants to fight. Joshua showed me that he wants to fight. Fury has shown me he wants to fight. So it's on. You know what I'm saying? It's on. All you Fury fans, stop fucking backtracking, man. It's not right for the man, bro. It's not right for your fighter, man. You shouldn't backtrack like that. He don't need to. He don't need no fucking 8 more fights and fucking, you know what I'm saying, fight 2019. No, he don't. He don't need that shit. You know how many? Look, there are a couple of fights, all right, a couple of fighters that came back from retirement and beat fucking champions, and they were inactive with even longer numbers. Sugar Ray Leonard, for one, against Hagler. And there are many others. So you Fury fans, stop doing that, man. Stick behind your man, man.
Oh, you have that point right there by Jay Carter with referencing the potential fight between Fury and Deontay Wilder. I've had my take on it, and I'm like this. I'm like, yeah, you do have this fight, but to me, I just don't see it being overall successful fight. As a lot of fans are saying that it might be. Yes, you do have Tyson Fury. Yes, he is undefeated. Yes, Deontay Wilder is undefeated.
But, you know, as far as, like, overall appeal is concerned, you have to have something to where you have outside influences be interested in this fight for it to be as successful as they, you know, are trying to make it. You know, the early announcement is that it's going to be on Showtime pay-per-view. And, you know, for those that have followed the pay-per-view model, that will be the first, you know, Showtime or pay-per-view on Showtime for years that doesn't involve the name Floyd Mayweather Jr. So that's going to be interesting in itself there because, you know, the last time that they Showtime pay-per-view didn't really involve Floyd Mayweather Jr., if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that even reached 350,000 pay-per-view buys. So, you know, having a guy like Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, while they do have, you know, the quote-unquote gifts of gab or whatever it is, they don't necessarily have the crossover appeal that the likes of a Floyd Mayweather or Mike Tyson or, you know, Oscar De La Hoya or Canelo Alvarez would have to produce a successful pay-per-view event. So, you know, that's something there that I kind of like see out of this. World Rank, you got something to say on that before I add in another caller?
Yeah. Your point, J. Cole's point on blaming the promoters, I do kind of agree with, and I do want to give Frank Warren credit because the way he handled Wilder this time, sending him over and actually letting him get in the ring and talk, which son Eddie Hearn wasn't willing to do after Joshua fought, give Frank Warren full credit. I'm fully convinced that Hearn had a conversation with Joshua about promising Joshua some type of financial gain before really putting him in a big fight, making sure that he's taken care of for his future before facing Wilder. I think that's why that fight didn't make the fact that Frank Warren put this fight between Fury and Wilder together so quickly reinforces my opinion that Hearn did not want to fight with Wilder this year. Because Frank Warren did a marvelous job bringing Wilder over, allowing him to get in the ring, and being mindful or being smart enough to kind of guide this fight to happening. Putting Wilder in there, having him have his time in the ring with Fury, and Fury not being like, you know, you invading my space, you invading my time, understanding that having Wilder there would make it a big fight. So I give Frank Warren credit for putting this together, doing it the way Hearn should have done it to making it a big fight. In terms of the pay-per-view numbers, I don't know. I don't necessarily want to get into that per se. I think the United States TV will be on their side because it's a heavyweight title fight. So U.S., you know, they love their heavyweights and Wilder can punch. So I think there will be some interest in that, but I don't know how well would it do.
Oh, all right. Now, I'm going to add in another caller here that, you know, probably was fairly pleased with what World Rank said, but I haven't put in my response yet. It is coming from the 646. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, no. How you doing, guys? You already know who it is, man. You already know
yep.
who it is. It's your boy, Matt.
Everybody knows who it is.
You already know who it is, man. I told you.
It's the biggest Deontay Wilder fan in the planet.
The
guy
told you.
Suffers the most from DWS. It's Matt, everybody's favorite Deontay Wilder fan. Matt, what's going on?
I told you, man. And make no mistake about it, the fact that Wilder versus Fury got done so quick lets you know what type of time Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua was on. They never wanted to fight. Fury wanted to fight, and here we had the fight that the world is going to love.
Hey.
It's time for a real heavyweight fight that's going to have some real action and some real consequences. There's going to be no British referee stoppage like Carlos Takam. There's going to be no Giuseppe breaking people up as soon as you try to get on the inside like Joseph Parker. You are going to see a real heavyweight fight. You're going to see the classic boxer mover versus the classic puncher. And it is going to be explosive, my friend, if you will. And I cannot wait. I cannot. Yes. Yes. Give me more. 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 Give me more, damn it. I cannot wait until this fight takes place. Because guess what? Deontay Wilder no longer needs Anthony Joshua, okay? He don't need Anthony Johnson, as he's known in the United States of America. He doesn't need him because this fight is going to generate revenue greater than any Anthony Joshua fight has done in the past. And you can quote me on that, my brother.
Hold on, everybody. We have a reaction to what was just said right there. Let's go to that real quick.
The biggest Deontay Wilder hater in North America. The turncoat. The traitor. Mr. JR. The traitor. The traitor. They should get this guy for treason. They should get this guy for treason. Trump colluded with Russia.
Wait a minute.
JR colluded with Eddie Hearn.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. Earlier today, I had a good little meatball sub sandwich with a large drink, and so I needed to burn off those calories, and I think that's just burning off half of those right there. Now, this thing with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, we can't dispute that, yes, it's a heavyweight fight between two guys, two big guys. Both of those guys are undefeated, and one guy holds a world championship, but
the world championship.
The thing, preach. No, a world championship. Okay. Now, the thing about this is that we all know that Tyson Fury is not at the status that in 2018 that he was in 2015 and 2014. So for people to kind of say that he would be favored in a match against Deontay Wilder right now, I don't necessarily buy that.
I've told
Matt this before when he, gloated about saying that Deontay Wilder would be facing Tyson Fury. That I favored and still favor Deontay Wilder to defeat Tyson Fury right now. Because you have to understand that Tyson Fury had lost over 115 pounds
to get to the point where he is right now. And you still have long-term effects of what he's done to his body. Now, there's one caller on here that disputes that he did what he did, but that's for, you know, another thing, or unless if you follow me on Facebook, then you will get that whole explanation by that caller. Or he may expound on it a little bit later on, because there is going to be another discussion after the show.
But, hey, James.
Yo.
I just wanted to cut in for a quick second when you were talking about favorites and stuff. So earlier this week, I was looking on the internet and I was hearing, I do place, you know, gambling is legal now, so I do place a couple of bets. So early in the week, before I had heard the fight was announced, I was looking at the odds, and like you guys said, the fight is pretty much an even fight. And before Saturday's fight, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I put money down on Wilder to beat Fury because the odds were basically even. And I didn't feel, and I still don't feel, that should be the right odds. I think Wilder should be heavily favored. Now, I don't want to say heavily favored, but he should be better than even money for this fight. So I took the money and put on Wilder even before the fight get announced, just because the odds were so good. Because just in case the fight did get made, I'm assuming that Wilder would become the favorite.
Yeah. So I wonder where, you know, once the fight gets actually announced and you have a quote unquote date and a quote unquote venue, what would happen with those odds to see if they would favor Tyson Fury or if they would, you know, favor Deontay Wilder once, you know, those odds actually become public or more of the sports books put that fight, you know, on there for people to place bets on. But, you know, like I was saying, I mean, right now I just favor Deontay Wilder because, I mean, I feel that, you know, he's more into a fighting shape and has been more active over the course of the past, of course, the past few years. But, you know, given the short improvement of competition that Deontay Wilder has faced in comparison to Tyson Fury, that has me putting Wilder as a favorite over Tyson Fury at this current juncture. For those that are, you know, listening in on Blog Talk Radio right now, live, you got about 10 minutes left on the live show. If you want to jump in and give you a take on boxing, you can call in at 347-237-5539. That's 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on to, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Now, another thing that, you know, World Rank brought up in reference to this thing with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. He said that, you know, this fight kind of is like quote unquote made in quick time, and kind of like says that, you know, Eddie Hearn didn't necessarily want the Anthony Joshua Deontay Wilder fight to happen this year. Now, preach. My thing on that is both.
Well,
didn't want this fight to happen this year. Both sides didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. When you had that opportunity between February and May to make that fight happen, that was the only open time where you had both guys being free to actually make the fight. And you had, of course, one person will disagree with this, but you had that time where Eddie Hearn and Maxine Boxing sent off multiple offers to Deontay Wilder to have him accept that particular fight. Now, y'all know basic rules with these boxing organizations, and the way that you can
not fight for mandatory is either you pay a step-aside fee or you get a special permit. What Joshua and Herm were trying to do is get a special permit. And in order to do that, they would have had to face another world champion. There was only one left, Deontay Wilder. So, hey, send an offer to Deontay Wilder. See if they accept. See if they sign the contract. They sign the contract. They get the special permit. They send an offer. First offer was declined. They send a second offer. Was declined. They send a third offer. Was accepted. They send a contract. Wasn't signed. Therefore, if they're not being signed, that's why they had to face Alexander Povetkin for that WBA mandatory. So that kind of like delayed the fight for happening this year. So they said, you know what? Okay, you don't want to face us now? That's fine. Let me honor the WBA mandatory this year, and then I'll be free next year in April 13th, 2019, and I'll be right there waiting for you, and you go ahead and sign. Now, let's see. They're saying, let's see if Deontay Wilder finds the pen and signs the contract. So that is basically what you have. Now,
propaganda.
Now, here's that's not propaganda, and I'm going to tell you
just
why.
Fucking facts.
On top of what's going to happen on September 22nd, when Anthony Joshua faces Alexander Povetkin. Povetkin is not only the WBA mandatory, but he's also the WBO mandatory. And on top of that, the WBO made the decision to elevate Anthony Joshua to be the WBO super champion. So not only will he be coming into this fight as a WBA super champ, but the WBO super champ. And with that, after he gets through that fight with Alexander Povetkin, he doesn't have to defend against another mandatory for 18 months. So that clears the way for him to fight for another world championship. So there's no basic ways out of that. He doesn't have to pay any set-aside fees. He doesn't necessarily have to worry about pressing to get a fight done with Deontay Wilder, because he won't have to worry about a mandatory that, you know, he usually honors, unlike another person. But that's neither here nor there. So, so what you have is come April 13th, 2019, will we see the 10-year pro, the WBC heavyweight champion, step up and fight Anthony Joshua, or will he fight another voluntary, or try to find a way to fight Dominic Brazil, who was named his mandatory after facing Eric Molina, who is nowhere near the top five in the WBC rankings? But that's what I pretty much had to say about that. We got 5 minutes left in the live session of the show. So in that 5-minute live session, I want to get some closing points from each of you on this topic. I'm going to start with Jay Cotto first.
Well, basically, like I said, you know, my the only thing I don't like about this this fight is just the Fury fans who are backtracking, you know, after all the shit talking. You know, oh yeah, when Fury and Wilder's made, Fury's gonna fuck Wilder up and da da da. And now that it's made, you know, they're talking about, you know, oh, he needs 5 more fights and they should fight 2019. No, fuck that. Get it now. It's made now. You know what I'm saying? Don't deprive the man of Fury's name. Fury, if anybody had any problems, you know what I'm saying, with this fight, I think that Fury should be the one that should be backtracking, but he's not. So, you know, saying that Fury's not ready and stuff like that, and this goes out to the fucking crazy fans that were talking shit, you know what I'm saying, the Fury fans that were talking mad shit, that now that the fight's produced, It's on. So back your fucking man up. Don't fucking, you know, just do that. And at the same time, I just feel that Wilder, I mean, Fury has a chance against Wilder, man, a big chance. Like I said, he has two ways he can win this, as to Wilder just has one. Wilder just has that knockout. He's not going to outpoint Fury, but Fury can either knock him out or can either outpoint him. You know what I'm saying? Now, he doesn't have to knock him out unconscious, but he's able to get a stoppage. He has those tools. So the Fury fans that are doubting Fury need to chill the fuck out and understand that this man was a former, you know, this man was a former undisputed heavyweight champion, and nobody beat him. He lost his titles over his own fucking wrongdoings. You know what I mean? So I think this is going to be a good fight. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it. And if Deontay Wilder wins, nobody can take anything away from him. You have to give him his credit. You can't be biased here. You have to give Deontay Wilder his credit because he done fought, you know, Fury came in and he got two bodies under his belt right now. You know what I'm saying? And he showed us two ways on how to win a fucking boxing match. The only ways, either TKO stoppage or fucking decision. So he can do that, either one, to Wilder. You know what I'm saying? And Wilder has to get a bit more fucking, like, he can't overcommit like he usually does, and he's going to have to watch his fucking footwork and not be so fucking sloppy, because Tyson Fury's going to box. He's not going in there like King Kong Ortiz to match wits. He's going to box. And the real test here is for fucking Wilder. So Wilder better start, instead of nitpicking and pot-shotting those fucking target mitts, he needs to start working off the jab with some combos, because Tyson Fury is much more busier in that ring since he's a boxer. Let's understand this. All right, Wilder's in for some shit here. Yeah, the fight's made. Everybody has a right to be happy, no doubt. But now let's look at the real thing here that's going the fuck on here. You know what I'm saying? Now the question here is, should we call Wilder a fucking overhyped fighter if Tyson Fury beats him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? We can question him, but we shouldn't call him that. You know what I'm saying? Simply because the man held down the title, whether we like it or not, for a long bit. You know, he has more voluntaries than mandatories, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying? The man still fought. And the myth with the you know, Fury might lose because of his inactivity. Like I said, I just gave you one prime example of on how fighters, you know, had a longer inactivity, came back and beat guys that were actually supreme on top of their game. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, these are all triangle theories that, you know, we can actually agree on, but they wouldn't actually be true. You know what I mean? I just wish that these two guys, I hope this fight makes it to them touching gloves, kid, because I will be very pissed off if by any side, anyone, Wilder or Fury, if this fight is not produced and it's stopped by any side, bro, I'm telling you, bro, I am never going to watch any of them ever again.
Gotcha.
All right, well, Rick, what you got?
So it's so good to have J. Cotto and Matt on the line at the same time, because I always get those two confused, and I always have an argument with the other one thinking that the other one said it. So it's good to have both of them on the line, you know, at the same time. So, because I always get them confused. But it's good to have him on the line at the same time. I disagree with everything J. Cotto just said. I do not believe Wilder will get full credit for the Fury win, because it's so difficult to move
but,
up.
But how are you? Hold on. How are you disagreeing with me if I just simply said that they should give him credit? I never said they shouldn't. So there's nothing to disagree with, brother.
No, I'm disagreeing, because I don't think they will give him credit. And
no, I said they have to give him credit. So that's not really something that to really disagree on, really, or agree on. You know what I'm saying? People are going to have to. They're going to have to give Wilder credit. And I don't even like Wilder like that, but word up, bro, if motherfuckers don't give Wilder credit, son, I'm going to call motherfuckers out. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
So in that theory, you're going to have to call motherfuckers out, because there's going to be people who say Fury was not – the level of opposition that he came back with were not good enough to get him in with Wilder. And if he loses –
You're going to have to call out JR.
And to be honest, they might have a valid reason, because if you look at his last two opponents, There's nothing in those two opponents that will get him ready for Wilder. So Fury has to show up, because if he don't, Wilder won't get any credit. To the effect of someone said that if Wilder gets knocked out, there will be people that might say that he's over. No, they shouldn't say that he's overrated. There will be people on that end as well that will say if Wilder loses and gets knocked out, he will be overhyped. It's just that's just the nature of the game. I don't think, to me personally, I don't think Wilder will get any credit for beating anyone other than Joshua. That's just me. I don't think there's anyone. There's going to be people out here that's going to make excuses when Fury gets knocked out that he wasn't ready for Wilder. He should have never fought Wilder. Blase, blase. Yeah, that's pretty much what I got. I just don't think people will give credit either way for the fight. I don't think it's going to be that competitive. I don't think Fury has a chance to knock Wilder out. I think he has a chance to do what he did with Klitschko and kind of stink it out. That's his only opportunity to meet. I think either he does that and able to pull out a decision, or he gets knocked out. I don't think he has a chance to knock Wilder out.
Okay, and that's a world rank right there. And he did bring up a key point in reference to who gets credit and who doesn't. And so as a follow-up, you have Matt. And I know what Matt is going to say about that.
let me tell you something, brother.
All right, Hogan.
No matter what, yeah, I'm watching SummerSlam right now. No matter what Deontay Wilder does, he will never, ever get credit from boxing fans. That is just the way it is. And to me, if Deontay Wilder is looking for validation from boxing fans, he needs to stop, because he will never get validation from boxing fans, because people like you, JR, people like you will always find a way to take credit from this man. You never even thought the Fury fight was going to get made, JR. I remember having these arguments constantly. You never even thought it was going to get made. Oh, it's not going to happen. Never going to happen. Oh, it's just pie in the sky. Now that the fight is made, I already see people saying what J. Cotto said. Oh, Fury's not ready. Oh, Fury's not ready. Let me tell you something about Fury being ready. It don't matter what year Tyson Fury faces Deontay Wilder. The result is always going to be the same. Deontay Wilder is going to fold Tyson Fury like yesterday's laundry. And you can quote me on that. This fight ain't going the distance, baby. It's not going the distance. So if I was you, I wouldn't get up. I wouldn't go to the bathroom. I wouldn't do anything, because it's going to be a short, quick night. Deontay Wilder is going to slaughter Tyson Fury. And there will be those that say that Tyson Fury wasn't ready because of the result. And let me be the first to tell those people that you don't know shit about boxing. Because if you look at what Tyson Fury does well, Deontay Wilder is the worst matchup possible for him. Tyson Fury likes to be awkward and get guys not to throw punches and to trick them. He only threw 370 punches versus Vladimir Klitschko. Total, 370 punches in a 12-round fight, and he was still able to win because Klitschko threw like 200 and something punches. You think Deontay Wilder over a 12-round fight is only going to throw 200 and something punches versus Tyson Fury, especially if he feels like he's down in the cards? You know what he's going to do? He's going to start pumping that plastic jab at that rubber band jab, bow, bow. And he is going to come with the biggest 1-2 combination that Tyson Fury has ever felt in his damn life, okay? Deontay Wilder is coming for the lineal heavyweight championship. He's going to get the lineal heavyweight championship. And you were talking about him fighting maybe Anthony Joshua in April. That's not going to happen, okay? Because one side doesn't want to fight. You only got a couple minutes left, so I'm not going to get into which side doesn't want the fight. But I'm telling you right now, one side doesn't want that fight. I think Deontay Wilder is going to fight Tyson Fury, and then he is going to fight the winner of the fight that I believe is going to happen, Dominic Brazil versus Dillian White in November. He's going to fight that winner. And then, possibly in the fall of 2019, he is going to fight Anthony Joshua, and he is going to become the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And it is going to be glorious. I want you to play this tape back. I want you to play back every live you've ever done. I want you to play back every video I've ever made. I want you to play back every time you and your minions have shouted me down. Because I ain't been wrong yet, brother. And I'm telling you right now, Deontay Wilder is going to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that he is the best heavyweight of his era. And he is going to send Tyson Fury into retirement. He's going to put Dillian White in the hospital. And he is going to send Anthony Joshua back to drug dealing. And you heard it here first. And that's all I have to say about that. But one more thing before I go, JR. One more thing before I go. Just one more thing.
That is the crowd's reaction to what you just said.
Oh my God!
This formally is the overtime portion of the show here. That will be available on Blog Talk Radio, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify later on.
Wait, you're on iTunes now,
but,
y'all?
It's available through iTunes right now. So if you look up the Boxing Source Radio Show, you should be able to find it on iTunes. Now, what Brother Matt has said, he said that, Deontay Wilder was always better than Tyson Fury. Now, my rebuttal to that is, if he was always better than Tyson Fury, then why didn't he step up to fight Tyson Fury in 2014? When that an original interest of Tyson Fury to fight Deontay Wilder kind of came about. They never followed up on it. There was no, second guessing. There was no nothing as far as like a consideration for making that fight take place, where it could have, elevated both of those guys' careers at that particular point. To where, even if Deontay Wilder eventually became world champion, at least he would have had somebody in his record that would have been, some type of validation before challenging for a world heavyweight championship, instead of, having a point to where he only faced guys that weren't necessarily in the top 20 or so, before fighting for the world heavyweight championship. That has been over the course of, this talk with Deontay Wilder, that has been my biggest criticism of him, is that he never had that chance to basically step up and fight the guys that were among the top 10. And there wasn't really anything about, guys being quote-unquote afraid of him when guys were calling them out. So that was my biggest criticism about him and that. Now, in reference to his current fight with Tyson Fury, like I said before, I have Deontay Wilder favorite. And you know why I have Deontay Wilder favorite. If Wilder and Fury were both active, I would have favored Tyson Fury in his fight against Deontay Wilder. I would. And the thing about it is that, here's a major reason why I do that. I favor Tyson Fury over Deontay Wilder. Similarly, why I favor Anthony Joshua over Deontay Wilder is because Wilder has a lot more success against guys that are much smaller than he is than those that are closer to, at, or above his height. When he has a length advantage and a reach advantage,
he uses that to his, you know, to his fullest potential. And you really saw that at its finest against Luis Ortiz, particularly in those first few rounds, because all of those rounds were basically Luis Ortiz trying to get to Deontay Wilder, and Deontay Wilder having a, you know, a sense where he kind of like kept his half of his body away from Luis Ortiz so that Luis Ortiz really couldn't get to most of his body. Here, against the likes of a Tyson Fury, against the likes of a, you know, Anthony Joshua, you know, against someone like a Vladimir Klitschko, if he fought him, he doesn't have those type of advantages, so he needs something else in order to be effective against those guys. And with Tyson Fury being as elusive as he is, and with Anthony Joshua being the counterpuncher that he is, that makes them, to me, favored over Deontay Wilder. But here with Tyson Fury, I don't see him being as active, as fluent in the ring, and as mobile as he was in 2014 and 2015. That's why right now I have Deontay Wilder over Tyson Fury if they fight this year. So that's what I have on that.
Hey, JR, can I ask you a question about the Wilder-Fury pay-per-view? Do you think if Anthony Joshua by some chance loses to Alexander Povetkin in September, do you think that is going to hurt the pay-per-view numbers for Wilder versus Fury?
Not on the world scale, no. In an American scale, yes, probably, but not on the world scale. Because the thing about it is, with Anthony Joshua, and I'm sure that you heard what was said in the Facebook Live that I had earlier today, that him losing doesn't really affect him personally. So he's like, you know what? I could lose, you know, basically at any point in my career. I mean, I kind of see that. You know, I'm still a guy that's still learning, that's still in the process of trying to improve myself as a fighter. So as such, there may be a time where I'm going to trip up and lose. It won't be against Deontay Wilder, but there's a time that he's going to be able to trip up and lose. Now, the thing about that is that you have that whole moniker of him losing doesn't really take away from the overall allure that he has, because he's going to have supporters behind him at the UK, no matter what. Well, on the flip side, if Deontay Wilder loses before facing Anthony Joshua, a lot
it's
of build-up and things like that behind Deontay Wilder, a lot of the investments that go beyond that go to Deontay Wilder, basically go out the window because they don't see it as successful. Because right now, Deontay Wilder, while undefeated, doesn't really put in the he's not marketing in the way to where either everybody supports him or everybody's against him. That's why the thing with Floyd Mayweather and his old work, because they pushed him as somebody that everybody could root against. With Deontay Wilder, you really can't figure out what the line is as far as like what he's going to do or who he's going to be. Is he going to be everybody? He's going to be somebody that everybody likes, or is it going to be somebody that everybody hates? He can't be in between. Unfortunately, in the business aspect of boxing, you got to be on one side or the other. You know, so that's what you got on that. Now, we have a few topics that I wanted to talk about in the overtime session. One of them was the thing with Floyd Mayweather Jr. as he went on social media to announce a fight with his so-called protege of sorts, Gervonta Tank Davis. Tank Davis is the WBA super champion at 130 pounds, and the announcement was that there would be a fight in the future with Gervonta Tank Davis against Abner Mares. Yes, Abner Mares, who is at 126 pounds and, you know, notably had two losses to the champion there at featherweight, Leo Santa Cruz. So that is the next fight that seems to be playing for Gervonta Tank Davis is against Abner Mares. And I wanted to see if I could get reactions to that. First, I'm going to start with World Rank.
It seems like every time I'm on this call or on the show, we discuss Gervonta Davis. But in terms of Abner Mares, man, and I think he's getting – not Abner Mares, but Gervonta is getting to the point where he's going to create a lot of hate because his opponents aren't what they need to be if you're trying to build a star. Terrence Crawford, he's overcome some of that because he unified the division. Gervonta's not unifying a division. He's not fighting anyone that's going to challenge him, you know, to get his name out there to be a hardcore, somebody that would consider the next star. He's just someone who has a title, and I think very highly of his skill set and what he can do in the division. I do think he's the best 130 guy, but he's not fighting the best around him. So I think there's going to be a lot of hate for this matchup. So it is what it is.
Gotcha. Matt, I'll go with you next. All right, this will be so long.
Six, four, six, check in.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your reaction to the potential matchup between Tank Davis and Abner Mares?
Well, I got to disagree with World Rank. I think that if you are trying to build Tank Davis into a star, this is exactly the kind of fight that you should be making for him. You're putting him up against a Mexican fighter that is popular, and you're putting him up against a Mexican fighter that is not really much of a challenge. He's going to brawl. It's going to be an exciting fight. Abner Mares is going to come forward. You know, he's been trying his best the last couple of years to learn how to box. But at the end of the day, Abner Mares is a warrior. He's going to come straight ahead. And I think that Gervonta Davis is going to massacre this guy, man. He's too small. He's too hittable. He's been through too many wars for Gervonta Davis. And I think that they're possibly going to put this fight on maybe a good undercard fight, maybe the Wilder Fury pay-per-view. Maybe they're going to put it on another card where it's going to be the main event and have a good card with it. But I think this is going to be another star-making performance for Gervonta Davis. Whether or not it's going to be competitive, I don't think so. Who thinks that? But it is what it is right now. He should be fighting people at 130. He should be trying to unify the division or move up. Go fight Miguel Burchell. Go fight somebody else. But if you're not going to do that, there's nothing wrong with just staying busy and taking exciting fights that the fans are going to see. You're going to get all the highlights on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. And just keep it pushing. But to me, he has a finite amount of time that he's going to have to start collecting titles or collecting decent scalps on his record. Because the boxing public is very fickle when it comes to these Mayweather, PBC, Al Haymon fighters. The boxing public don't like them that much, you know, for whatever reason. So he's going to have to really step up his competition quick. But I think this fight is no harm, no foul, whatever.
Gotcha. Basically, something to where it's, you know, like a mid-grade type of thing to where it's, you know, no, nothing gained or, you know, it'd be a lot lost if Tank Davis misses out, really, but it's nothing gained by him fighting this fight, winning this fight. No. Just trying to see here. Jay, you got something more on this?
Yeah, son. I got Wayne Gretzky. You know what I'm saying? I think Gervonta Davis, is like Matthew said, I think this is a good fight for him. I mean, especially if he's going to go into the ranks of maybe fighting a Lomachenko, fucking hopefully, you know what I'm saying, in the future, or maybe moving up if he wants to, because he looks like he's getting a little pudgy there, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully he can move the fuck up. But I'm just saying, right now with Abner Morris, very good fight, very good test. If he doesn't get by Abner Morris, it doesn't mean that he's fucking whack or he's a fucking, you know, a sellout. It's just he just has more work to do. You know what I mean? But I think that right now, Tank Davis, he's at a stage that he's ready for a semi-big fight like this. You know what I mean? I think he's going to be able to handle himself pretty much. Now, like I said, once again, if he doesn't and he loses, it doesn't make him a terrible fighter or none. It's just he's young. He's still on the come up. And, you know, he's still young. He's still on the come up. And, you know, he needs more work. You know what I mean? That's just the way I see it. But otherwise than that, it's a great fight, man. It's a great fight for him. Definitely.
Now, I'm crowning this guy the best in the division. So if he can't beat a guy that's moving up, that's not the best in that division, I can't say that he's not, you know, he's not what I thought he was. Because I believe he's the best at the division, and if he loses to somebody who's coming up from a division below who's not the best at that division, something's wrong, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
It's not, I'm very high on certain guys, so when my expectation is that they're the best in the division, they shouldn't be playing around,
right,
wasting time with guys that's not even in the division. I have a problem with that, and if you look at his, since he won the title, and even before that, he hasn't really had anyone on his name, on his resume, other than
Pedraza. Exactly.
Pedraza, who's about to move up and face Beltran. Other than that, you know, and I said this when he won the title. I said he's going to have a lot of trouble getting opponents because of who he's with. And there's not a lot of guys at 130 that he can work with other than Tevin Farmer. And that should have been his number one priority. I don't know why Abner Morris is being made to come up and fight this guy when you got Tevin Farmer right there in the fight that can be made, and it's beef behind it, and it's all types of stuff going on backstage. That should be the fight that you're pushing for. If not that, another unification, but not having somebody move up from a division below and try to sell that as a good fight. I can't buy it.
Yo, world, let me ask you a question, world. Do you think that Javonta Davis might have a little bit of fucking fear of Tevin Farmer kid?
Nah, I don't truly know the reason why they're not trying to make that fight. I mean, that's the only fight that is a reasonable fight that people will say, you know, that's a decent opponent. Because I think
more
people will give him credit for beating Farmer than they will for beating Abner Morris from a lower weight.
I think the reason why the Farmer fight is a little harder than maybe is because when Davis wanted to fight Farmer, Farmer was telling him, yo, you got to go get a belt first, and then I'll fight you. He kind of pushed Davis off. So now that Davis has a little bit more buzz, all of a sudden, you know, ESPN Plus, all of a sudden he's calling out Javonta Davis. He didn't call out Javonta Davis when Davis first won that fight, when Davis was still up and coming. Now that Davis is a proven commodity, because he sold out that Barclays Center, you know, when he fought in his last fight. He was the one that had the people coming to see him. Now that he's a known commodity, all of a sudden, Tevin Farmer want to fight him. So, my man, it's the same thing like Floyd and Shane Mosley. When I was coming up, you didn't want to fight me. Now that I got a little buzz, and you can make a little money off of me. Now you want to fight me? Nah, go kick rocks. I'll go fight somebody else. And to me, commercially, Abner Morris versus Javonta Davis is a bigger fight than Tevin Farmer versus Javonta Davis could ever be, because Tevin Farmer can't sell out his own backyard. So if they're going to fight, maybe they'll fight in D.C., that's going to be Javonta Davis's fans. Tevin Farmer's not going to bring no fans. But if he fights Abner Morris, you will have the built-in Mexican fan base that will support their Mexican compadre no matter what, and he'll be able to sell more tickets. He'll get a higher rating, and maybe he'll boost his profile a little bit more. Because Javonta Davis is still trying to recover from the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor pay-per-view debacle. You know, that left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of boxing fans. So he is still trying to do some rehab to his image. and fighting on a big stage versus Abner Mares, despite whether or not it's an easy fight for him, is going to be a good look for him as he tries to rebuild his image.
I do not disagree with you on the aspect of the image and building. It's a bigger fight, absolutely. I'm just speaking on the image of the best fighting the best. You can't sell me on beating or even fighting Lomachenko if you're not even willing to fight Burchell or Fama. That's how I see it. But I get the aspect of Mares being a bigger fight.
Yeah, from a marketing standpoint, fighting Mares is a bigger fight. You know, but it's just that right now, you know, at the point of Mares' career, does anybody really feel that he has much of a chance to defeat Gervonta Tate Davis? And, you know, a lot of people would say no. In reference to the thing with Tevin Farmer, one of the other things that kind of like says to me that they really shouldn't have that fight take place yet is that, well, Tevin Farmer just won the belt. And, you know, for him to, you know, have his fight against Ogawa and then that fight have a very controversial decision that, you know, ended up being overturned and being a no contest. And so he just turns around and, you know, fights Billy Dibb and wins to get that title. You're just going to, you know, sit there and just have the title just to fight Gervonta Tank Davis in a unification. Why not just, you know, defend the belt a couple of times, build your little profile up a little bit more, and then, you know, if you and Tank Davis still have the belts in 2019, you know, by May 2019 or something like that, then you still have the unification fight right there available for both of y'all. And it'll be, you know, a little bit bigger because both of y'all have a profile holding the world titles for a few more months. So why not let that fight marinate for a little bit and fight other guys so that, you know, once that fight does actually take place, then it'll be a bigger fight because, well, one, we don't necessarily know if that fight in itself will be a main event for a card or if it'll be a co-feature for a card. So that's the reason why I feel that, you know, Tank versus Farmer should marinate for a little bit and that, you know, with this thing with Tank and Abner Mares that potentially could be happening later this year, while it may not look like it's a sensible fight to some, it's something to where, you know, Tank will be able to, you know, build his profile up a little bit. So that's what we basically get on that. That's, you know, mostly what I wanted to cover on this particular podcast of the show. Of course, like, on Facebook, I'm going to continue the boxing talk live on my page for those that listen and follow me on my personal page. So we're going to be doing that for a little bit. For those that follow the Go Long Media channel on Blog Talk Radio, you have the Cold Hard Truth on Sports Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. And either, you know, some other host or myself will be on Wednesday night for Take This L. We're going to do a college football preview show. So be on the lookout for that on the Go Long Media channel. But, of course, the Boxing Source radio show Sundays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Not necessarily sure if I will be doing one next Sunday, but I will give an update on that. But like I said, at the end of every show, folks, Point of Boxing is a hit and not get hit, not to send and trade. On that note, I'm out. Thanks for calling, and y'all have a good evening.
Peace.
Bomb squad! Oh, you didn't do that, man. Come on, man.